We're going through a series at the church called Follow Me, and we're looking at Jesus. What a great one to look at. Just looking at Jesus, looking at his life, looking at how he lived, looking at his teaching, and just when he said, follow me, what did that actually mean? And I've been given the topic of looking at follow me and treasures. Follow me and treasures. New treasures of the heart. And I was thinking the other day about a story someone told me once about a man who, he died. And as he was getting sort of in that intermediary time of getting ready to go to heaven, he'd been a believer for much of his life, and he was having a discussion with one of the angels who was sort of escorting him through to the pearly gates, and he just said, I'd like to take some things with me. And the angel said, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's all new. There's nothing that's worth bringing with you. It's all much better. And well, he argued the point, to the point that finally the angel said, all right, you can bring one thing with you, just one. And the man said, fine, I know exactly what that's going to be, because he'd been quite a wealthy man. And so he quickly went back into his house, and as he knew that he was going to be dying, he'd taken all of his wealth, and he'd bought gold bars. And he thought, that's going to be the most important thing to me to take with me. Then I'll have some status, some wealth with me. And so he stuffed these gold bars into his pockets and down his trousers. He looked a bit like the Michelin man. He was walking up there with these big bricks and all of them. And he got there. And when he got to the gates, it was a bit like the security at Heathrow. He went through and they said, sorry, sir, but you really can't bring anything in with you. And he says, but I got permission from the angel to bring it. And they looked through and he said, well, what have you got? And he took them out and he put them on. And he says, well, I've just got to go and talk to the boss. So he just pops out and he says to God, he says, the guy at the gate says to God, I really can't understand it. Of all the things he could have brought with him, why did he bring some paving stones? If you didn't get that, don't worry. Streets are lined with gold, paved with gold. There's the punchline. Bad when you have to explain your own jokes. There is a wealth of scriptures that talk about our priorities. There is a wealth of scriptures that talk about what is really, really important. And at 9 o'clock this morning, many of us gathered here this morning for a funeral. May seem a bit strange on a Sunday morning. I think it's the first funeral I've ever been to on a Sunday. And there were a good group of people here from our church, from other churches, and family members here. And they came for a Thanksgiving for someone who's gone on to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Someone who right now is enjoying the treasures of heaven. Someone who everything that they've done in life has paled into insignificance because they're standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Someone who's laid up treasures in heaven. And they're now enjoying the goodness of all of that. And you can't get more poignant than that when it comes to a scripture like this. So I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3. And it says, since then we have been raised with Christ. Set your heart. Oh, hang on. Let's get to the right verse here. Sorry. Let's rewind there and get to page 1. Let's get to page 1. If I've totally confused people up here. Oh, I've got this, don't I? Is this working? Yay! So we're going to look at 4 things. Our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our actions. We've got 17 minutes. Yes, miracles will happen. And by the way, if you're wondering what the telly is over in the corner there, that's if you don't want to listen to me, you can go play games over there. Okay? Actually, while you're having your coffee, you can have a look at some of the stuff that Simon was just talking about. But what did Jesus say? Matthew 6. So for those of you got your apps stop looking at the Christianity Explored website. And those of you who got your Bibles, Matthew 6. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moths and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being. That's the Message version of that scripture. And I want us to look at this from the point of focusing our hearts. Focusing our hearts. In Luke 10:27, it says, he answered, that word love is missing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This was Jesus responding to them saying, what is the greatest commandment? And the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God. Love him with everything. I love that, what you shared there. You know, God loving us. There's no buts. There's no buts. It's totally unconditional. If there was one but, it wouldn't be grace. There are no buts in God's love. It is totally and utterly unconditional. Lavished upon us. Lavished upon us. That's why we can be called the sons and daughters of the living God. That tongue and the interpretation. Thank you, I'm a daughter of the King of Kings. Thank you, I'm a son of the King of Kings. And our focus, our treasure, the thing that makes us most excited must be Jesus. Anything else is a waste of eternal time. It's a waste of our time now, but it's a waste of eternal time. Everything else will come to an end. Everything else will be left behind. Everything else will be inherited by our children, good, bad, and ugly. Yes, my children have some of my genes. But when we focus our eyes on Jesus, when we say from the depth of my heart, my treasure is to follow him. My treasure is to love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, and with all of my mind. When that's foremost, then I have no chance of not laying up treasures in heaven. But when I allow my love, my affection, my heart to be focused on something else, my treasure laying up ceases to be eternal. And it's a waste of time. Simple as that. It is as simple as that. Moth and rust. Well, we don't seem to battle with moths quite as much as we used to. I can remember back to the days of mothballs and that smell. How many are old enough to remember the mothball smell? Okay? It had an odor about it. It tended to age the property. It reminded me of my grandmother and her house. I didn't get there very often. She lived a long way away, but you just walked in and there was that interesting mix of brilliant cooking and mothballs. That was sort of it. And moths are wonderful things. They can be beautiful. They can be destructive. Now, how many of you have ever had something destroyed by moths? You know, you don't even know it's happening. You don't see it happen. It's not like they run up and they've stolen it from you while you're wearing it or while you're doing it. It's happening behind the scenes. It's a bit like rust. You know, you take your car in for its MOT and you think it's going to sail through and then you get the phone call. Ever so sorry, but we've discovered rust. In fact, there's more rust than there is car. And it seems to be something a little bit from the past. I was talking to someone the other day about a car I'd taken for a test drive, but I said, I said, one of the problems with it was all rusted around the wheel wells. And the comment that came back was, I thought rust in modern cars was something a few years ago that you worried about. It's still a problem. It will always be a problem. Even if you get stainless steel and you paint it with rust-proof paint, somehow it will get in there and it will rust away. But what is great, there are no moths in heaven. There is no rust in heaven. There is no decay in heaven. There is no decomposition in heaven. In heaven, it is a place of eternal values and eternal purpose. But what great joy we have that now we can lay up treasures in heaven if we focus our hearts on Jesus. I would ask myself the question, what do I hold on tightly? What do I say I love? Not in that flippant way, you know, I love chocolate. Okay, Bridget, you with me on that one? You know, I love chocolate. You know, yeah, come Friday evening, we have a chocolate box. It comes out on a Friday evening. It comes out once in a while during the week when Chris isn't around as well, but don't tell her that. Okay, but there's just times when you've had your meal, well, me anyways, had my meal, I've got my cappuccino or my latte sitting there that I've just made out of my machine, and I'm thinking, I love a nice cup of coffee, and I just love some chocolate to go with it. Okay, that's a wrong use of love. I'm not going to give my life for that. You know, if it's a life or death situation, you can have my coffee, you can have my chocolate, okay? You can have it, you know, and that's fine. But there are some times when I have to ask myself, what do I hold on tightly? As Christians, many of us would claim that Christ is our treasure above all else. But you know, what I claim must have evidence to back it up. And you know who is going to have the most evidence? It's you and the world around me. Because I'll make up the evidence to prove my point. But it's those around who know whether Christ is central or not. Of course he knows. He knows the secrets of our hearts. But those around. There's a series of films that were put out, Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm hoping we can just have a little clip from that now. I will apologize. There is, for those of you who are part of the church, there are subtitles in tongues on it. It was the only clip I could find on the internet that I could download quickly that had it. I do have the film. I could have easily got the clip from there and spent hours editing it. But just watch this little clip. Did you catch that? This compass is not broken. It is broken. It doesn't point north. It points to the thing that you want most in this world. And in the movie, The Pirates of the Caribbean, Captain Jack Sparrow has a compass. It is not ordinary compass. And as I said, rather than pointing north, it points towards what the person holding it wants the most. It might be treasure or a person or a location, but it only works if the person holding it knows what they really want. If they're certain of what they really want. But Captain Jack, self-centered as he is, doesn't really know what he wants. And so the compass doesn't always work for him. It often just spins round and round. And people have noticed this. And even the sailor there said, it's broken. Because the sailors with Jack knew what that compass was supposed to do. But they'd often seen that it didn't do what it should do. Because his heart was not set on one thing. In the second Pirates movie, when he's trying to find the chest containing the still-beating heart of Davy Jones, Jack can't get a heading from his compass. So he convinces Elizabeth that finding the chest will reunite her with her true love. And because her heart is more certain in that moment than his was, they get their heading and they continue on their journey. I wonder if we had a spiritual compass that we opened up and it pointed to what our heart's desire was, where our treasure is. Would it point heavenward, earthward, or would it spin? Would I be embarrassed to let someone look over and see what my compass was doing? Or would I be excited that it was pointed towards heaven? Would I be excited to say, here, look, this is where the treasure really is. I'm laying up treasure in heaven. I'm not running after the things that other people are running after, or what the latest advertisement is saying that I should be or have or look like. I'm not worried about this, that, or the other thing. Yes, we have to care for one another, and yes, we have to look after ourselves. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow because today's got enough worries of its own. It tells us to look after those that are around us, to care for the poor, to care for the needy, to care for our family. And we have to be faithful stewards of what God has given to us. Yes, yes, yes. But there is a future hope. There is something that is much greater than this, and it's storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart is, the focus of your heart. Can we go back to the slide presentation? The focus of your heart. Oh, I've gone past a couple, sorry. Somehow I flicked too quick. Hopefully it will go back. Modern technology. If you didn't get it the first time, this is a repeat performance. Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You cannot do better than that in any investment. You will not get a higher interest rate. You will not get a greater return. You will not get a dividend or a bonus that's greater than that. You will not win a greater amount on a lottery than that, than setting our hearts on things above. Setting your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians 3:2, just the next bit of that scripture that we looked at. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Have you got the whatevers? You feel like you got on a bit of a roll there, don't you? Whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can you think of anything more excellent and praiseworthy than Jesus? As we sang that song this morning, and as Peter said, we probably should have just told Marshall to stay seated and let's just keep focusing on Jesus. The setting of our minds. You know, our hearts are known as the seat of emotion. It's not this thumpy, pumpy thing that's going here that keeps me alive. Our heart is the very core of our emotions. I found it quite interesting when I was at college. They were talking about seats of emotion in different cultures. In some cultures, the liver is a seat of emotion. And so when they translate the Bible in those languages, they don't put, love the Lord your God with all your heart. They said, love the Lord your God with all your liver. It sounds very strange to us, but actually I think it's helpful to realize it's not this thing that we're talking about. It's something much bigger than that. It's something greater than that. In other cultures, it's the throat. Emotions is in the throat. I love the Lord your God with all your throat. And the wording makes us think about it. When you change what's so common to us to something that's even more exciting in other cultures, it makes us think about it. Actually, it's not my liver. It's not my throat. It's not this heart. It's my entire being. And it's setting my mind to follow that. Taking my thoughts captive. Saying, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, as long as it's you. As long as it brings glory to you. as long as it's exciting about you. And if my heart is set there, my passions are going to be there, that's where you're going to find me. That's what it said in the message, wasn't it, right at the beginning? If that's where your heart is, if that's where your treasure is, that's where you'll find me. That's where you'll find the real me. Setting my mind, my thoughts, my intentions, the way that I process things, the way that I think through problems, the way that I tackle the challenges of this life are through the way that I think. And if I'm full of the Spirit of God, and if my passion and my treasure is laid up in eternal things, I'm going to tackle things very differently than the person beside me who does not know Jesus. I'm going to handle the pressures of life in a very, very different way. And people are going to see it, and people are going to say, you're strange, you're odd, you're weird. How do you do it? How do you do that? Why have you made a difference in this situation? Why, when everyone else is running and screaming, you're at peace? Why, when your world seems to be falling apart, just like mine is, because the Bible doesn't say our world isn't going to fall apart, and that we're not going to face difficulties and challenges. We will face them. We will face them big time. But it's how do I face them? Because I've got a mind that's set on Him. I've got a mind that's looking at a treasure that's much greater than I want to feel a bit better today, or I'd like to have a little bit more money, or I'd like this to be a little bit easier. No, I've got a mind that's bigger than that, because my mind is the mind of Christ. And I've got eternal purposes on my mind. And you know what that causes us to do? What that should force us to do? What that should irresistibly draw us to do? Is to pray. And fill my mind with Scripture. And fill my thoughts. And fill my excitement. And fill my desires. And fill the things that make me tick and that take up my time and my energy with the things that take up His time and His energy. Because that is my mind is set on things of heavenly realms. I know because I've read about it and I see it and I experience it in my own life and other people's lives, the pressure, the depression, the headaches, the physical effects of worry and concern and lack of peace and trust. And why? Because minds are affected and infected by this world and the concerns and worries of it. Why do you think the Bible says, don't be concerned about tomorrow? Because we weren't designed to worry about tomorrow. He is. We're not. And if my mind is set on His, He's going to be looking after my tomorrow. I'll trust Him for my tomorrow, and He'll give me all I need today for godliness, for righteousness, and for life. What a difference there is when I say, I'm going to follow you. It's a new treasure. It's a new treasure. It's not the treasure of this world. It's the treasure of eternal purposes. I've got my heart that is focused on you. I've got my thoughts are set on you. The focus of your eyes. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes, not just our hearts, which is the depth and the deepest part of us, but then allowing it to come out, that our mind, that our eyes, what we're looking at, what we're seeing. They say the eyes are the doorway to the soul. Oh, that my eyes are seeing the things of heaven. That what is coming in here is the greatest things of the kingdom. I want to see what Jesus is doing. I want to follow Him because I'm seeing Him. See, the disciples had this great man who did not just come and teach with words, but he demonstrated with power. And all that people would see the wonder of heaven through our eyes. They'd see the wonder of Jesus through our eyes. And if my eyes are focused on Him, people will follow my gaze. You don't believe it? Go and stand in a town square. Just look up and point. There doesn't need to be anything there. And everybody who walks past will go, they'll look where you're looking. They'll follow your gaze. You may be looking at nothing in the town square, but if you're looking at Jesus, they will begin to see too. They will begin to see too. I'm going to rush through this as quickly as I can. The actions of your hands. No one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other. Notice this is the end of that passage in Matthew 6. We started in Matthew 6. We come full circle back to it. No one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. At the heart of our world systems is a love of money. Whether it's the extremes of communism or the extremes of capitalism and pretty well everything in between, at the heart of it is a love of money. We live in a strange world. If I do something wrong in my job, I get sacked and that's it. If you're someone of immense wealth and power, you do something wrong, you get a huge payoff for doing it wrong. Hundreds of thousands, millions of pounds given to you, and the next day you can step into another job and do it all wrong again and get hundreds of thousands, millions. It's an upside down world. But it's all about the love of money. But yet this passage talks about, you've got your choice. You have your choice. You're devoted to one and despising the other. If we as a people of God, if we are a people who have gone through the focusing of our hearts, the thoughts of our minds, the focusing of our eyes, the actions of our hands are all Jesus. If they're all Jesus, then we are devoted to Him and will despise the rest. Now, it might seem harsh. You say, I'm supposed to despise my paycheck and despise the inheritance that I have, despise the present. If it comes to a choice of Jesus or the others, yes. When it comes to that line, yes. I despise it all. It's all worthless. It's all a waste. What is important is that eternal purpose. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I'm going to ask Simon to come and share just quickly and briefly, because we do have, and this wasn't planned this way, I don't think it was, maybe it was, that we've got some gift days coming up. We've got some amazing stories, but we've got some great challenges ahead, excitement ahead, opportunities for the kingdom of heaven. Let Simon share.
Thank you, Simon. Those of you that have history with us and been part of our church family for a while will know just the amazing way that God has been at work. Through the blessing of His provision, through the faithfulness of your giving, we've been able to move recently from a situation where we were having to have regular gift days to meet our regular budgetary monetary needs into a position where all our regular needs are met by our regular giving. We give praise to God and thanks to you for your faithful generosity in that. And that has released us now to have just one gift day a year, to be able to put it towards new ministry, new opportunities that we have for the kingdom. Last year, we gave fantastically towards our children's and family ministry. We're still waiting for God to raise up the right person, the right opportunities. We have that money still there, ring-fenced. Thank you so much for that. This year, we have new opportunities. We have The Attic, our new youth work initiative, which has just started. What we really need to do with that is put some investment into that with some quality equipment and some kind of budget for events. So that's part of what our gift day is going to be for. It's really exciting. We've got a great team under Ed and Tara with a great vision for reaching young people in our communities. So that's one part of it. Another part of our gift day will be towards worship. It's such a high value for us, isn't it? Experiencing the presence of God and enjoying Him in worship. We have great teams who serve us, and musicians, PA teams, projector operators, but we need to upgrade and get a lot of new kit of stuff that has just worn out through long and good and extended use. But we've just got to get new stuff. We've got to get new PA equipment, new projector equipment, lots and lots of bits and pieces, which all adds up. So that's going to be another part of our gift day. And the third part, architect's fees. Now that's something you can get excited about, isn't it? Architect's fees. What do we need architect's fees? Well, actually, it is very exciting because of the way that God has been blessing us and the way we are in anticipation of God continuing to bless and cause us to grow and our opportunities for ministry and influence, we need to do something with this building. We need to refurbish, we need to extend. We've got all sorts of ideas about opportunities that we have, things that we could do with this building. We have to get rid of that mobile. We don't have a choice about that. In the next couple of years, we have to get rid of it. That space is important for us for glue. So we need to find new space. So what we need is to get an architect, and we've got contact with a couple of excellent Christian architects who can come in, who've got an eye to see possibilities, who will get what our vision is, and who can come in and help us begin to see ways that we can make this building fit for purpose and serve the vision that we've got in our hearts to reach a lost community. So that's three different opportunities. On the tables out in the foyer, each one of you has a slip, should be addressed to you, just with all the details of that on, details of ways that you can give. If for some reason you're not included on that table, you would like one of those slips, please speak to myself or to Alison and we will let you have one of those. So 19th and 26th, 2 weeks' time and 3 weeks' time over those two Sundays, we're going to invite you to share in this exciting opportunity with us to give and to invest in the kingdom and treasures in heaven. Thank you, Marshall.
So I'm going to ask you to stand. This is one of those points where I really want you to engage with God. Please don't engage with me. I want you to engage with God. Because there's a battle that always goes on when you start talking about money. The enemy loves this battle because he wins it more often than he loses it. Because his world is built on that. And right now, racing through your minds and my mind is, but what about this and what about that and what about the other? And I've been saving for this. Retirement isn't easy and jobs are not that much and my income is difficult and all these sorts of things. But we have a God who is a supernatural God. Let's get our eyes on heaven. Let's get our eyes on eternal purposes. Don't think about an architect. Think about serving a community through a facility that sees people's lives changed for an eternity. Don't think about a new microphone or a new stand. Think about the freedom to worship in a greater and greater way without someone back there sweating like Tim has to every time he does and others do. Will it squeak, pop, or howl again? Which has nothing to do with them, but to do that we're working with outdated and broken down equipment. We want people to come in and experience God. We want people to come in and be committed to finding this Jesus. We want fresh ministries to be released. The attic. I get involved a bit with the one that started in North Walsham, just because my son and daughter are part of the church there and they were part of the ground team of that. Last week, they had 89 teenagers, young people, at the attic. 89, of which the vast majority of those are not Christians. Yet. There's an eternal purpose when they pray. There's an eternal purpose when they're meeting there. There's an eternal purpose of changing the youth culture of that town. I'll tell you, the youth culture of this town needs to be changed. The youth of this town need their hearts turned toward Jesus. What a great testimony to have four of our youth baptized a couple weeks ago. Yeah? Karen and Gordon? What a great job you're doing. I want to see tens and hundreds of those young people coming through this church. And as it stands now, it's not going to happen. But let's look what's on his heart. £5, £100, £1,000, £5,000, £10,000 of your hard-earned money. No, of God's provision for you invested into the kingdom is going to see lives radically changed. Radically changed. Father, will you come? Will you help us? Will you help us? I need your help. We need your help, Holy Spirit, to come right now, because our eyes will be fixed on the things of this world. Our hearts will not be set on the heavenly things. My hands will not reach to my pocket, to my bank account, without your help. And I pray that through our giving of finances, through our life and our activities and our heart purposes, that hundreds of people find Jesus. I pray that this facility will be far too small of a thing to handle what you want to do. I want this to be a place where thousands are finding the grace of Jesus over the years to come. I thank you for that heritage that we stand here, because some years ago, a group of people not much bigger than this invested tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds into this fabric and facility. It's falling apart now because we've used it well. And we say we want the next generation, the one after that, to have the same problem that we've invested and we've used it well. This is not a sanctuary to be kept pristine. This is a place where the church gathers and impacts community and is equipped to go out and do the works of service. Help us to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't stain the carpets. They don't break the handles on the door. They don't crack this and this wears out and that gets old, and this PA system, which we'd love to pick up and throw into a skip today and have a brand new one tomorrow. Father, will you come? Will you move amongst us? Will you do the supernatural amongst us over these next few days? Will you release funds to us? Will you cause things to mature? Will you surprise us with the unexpected? Will you do the miraculous amongst us? Why? Because we want money? No, because we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on earth. How? As it is in heaven, laying up treasures in heaven. Do it amongst us, we pray. Surprise us. Thank you that a few months ago we needed gift days to pay our daily expenses. We don't anymore because you provided. Thank you. This roof is waterproof and safe, and we've been paying that off for the last, in the next couple of months. It's done. It's paid for. It's history. Why? Because you provided. Lord, do it again and again in Jesus' name. Amen.